Thanks, Steve. Thanks, team. I appreciate you guys. You guys have a great worship team. I hope you appreciate that. Yeah. My heart is very much wound up in worship. I've led worship for many, many, many years, and so I appreciate good worship. I met with these guys the other night and talked to them, and I can assure you they have hearts for worship. They want to lead you in worship. They don't want to put on a show. They don't want to entertain. They don't want to be about them. They want to be about you, and so I appreciate that, and I thoroughly enjoyed the worship this morning. My name is Kevin Stone. Several things I want to touch on. One is I feel like a failure. I kind of messed up because I love to take a selfie of me with the congregation and post it on Facebook, and I like locked my phone in the pastor's office. So if anybody wants to just take random pictures during the service and send them to me later, you can do that. You can if you want to. You might miss my great introduction, though. All right, so I'm Kevin. I am the president of the FEBC. I am not presidential material. I don't know why they hired me. I think they said, well, if Donald Trump can be president of the United States, you know, like anybody can do it, so we'll pick this guy. So, but I'm privileged to be in this position. I've enjoyed it very much as I've traveled around and met people and gone to the different churches. It's been great. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, so I am from the United States. I pointed out to my hosts how beautiful Mount Baker is from here, and Esther said, "Well, that's yours." And I think what she meant was, it's the United States, it's there. And I thought, well, I can't actually see it from Omaha at all. So it's probably more yours than it is mine. But if it is mine, I'm really glad we could put it in a spot where you guys can see it. So God bless you with that. All right, now, just smile. That's not smile. Oh, that's not on selfie mode. I'm not going to hit the button. All right, now smile. I got to take like three of them. You guys are spread out. Okay, here we go. I got a notification from a game or something. I hope this works. I about had to do a video or something. You guys are all over the place. Hi. So yeah, wow, this is bad. You guys are like, who is this joker? I bring greetings from Blaine Donaldson as well, my predecessor. I met with him, spent a night at his house on my way here, and he said Abbotsford is one of his favorite churches by far, and he really misses being able to come visit, so he sends his greetings, and that's the honest truth. He did say that, but from now on, I'm going to tell every church, you are Blaine Donaldson's favorite church. I'm going to do that because I think it'll encourage people, but no, it's true. He really did say that about wanting. I have a wife, Melissa, who is a school teacher full-time, so she could not be with me. She's got to teach because it's during the school year. But she'll travel with me when she can. We have three adult kids, one in Kansas, one in Omaha, one in Arizona. And we just really enjoy this ministry. I've been in ministry my entire adult life, mostly part-time. For the past about 13 years, I've been full-time. And I just really, really appreciate the opportunity to help in any way that I can. As you're leaving, there's a table out there in the foyer. It's got some position papers on it. It's got some of my business cards on it. And it's got some pamphlets about how you can be engaged in the FEBC. Pastor Ryan mentioned how he's plugged in a little bit with some commissions and some teams. And anyone can do that. A layperson, it doesn't matter. If you want to help serve, there are ways you can connect and serve within the FEBC. And I know it feels like a distance. You guys in Dallas, Oregon are our representatives out here to the West Coast. And so it feels like, wow, the other churches are a long way away. But with today's technology, I think we can still connect. I'm going to talk about that more in a little bit. But it's my distinct privilege to be here. I've really enjoyed everyone I've met with so far, and I appreciate you guys laughing at my lame jokes and that kind of thing. I am going to be talking about caring enough to connect. Now, just a warning, I can't see my slides up there, so if I get off, just somebody yell at me, and I'll get to the right slide, but I'm going to do my best to stick with it. So, caring enough to connect. This is the message. This was the theme at our convention this past summer. And I thought it was important, a very important theme, and I thought I would bring it to the churches. Now, at convention, we had four different sermons about how to care enough to connect. And we talked about connecting in four different areas. And so I've decided I'm going to boil all this down into one sermon. So you're actually going to be here a while. the good news is I didn't even ask what time your service ends. So like, I'm fine. You know, I hope you guys are fine too. I'm just kidding. I'll make it quicker than all four combined. So caring enough to connect. This is what we're talking about. This is what we want to do. So we in North America are very independent minded. We make ourselves who we are. We go out and we conquer. We take care of things. I can do it myself. I'm a self-made man. I understand what needs to be done. I'm an independent woman. I can do it my way. These are the things we say in our vernacular. But God doesn't view us the same way we view us. God intended for us to be in connection with one another. It's his desire for mankind. God has been in connection from before time began as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he desires that we live in connection with one another. He understands the value of connection. To demonstrate this intended connection, I want to look at John 17, verses 20 to 23. I want to, but I can't right now. Okay, there we go. Did you do that or did I do that? You did it. So I might have to like give you a nod or something. It worked just fine right before the service started. All right, well, I'm just going to talk to him when it's time to switch slides. This is getting better and better. All right, my prayer is not for them. He's talking about the disciples. Jesus is praying, and he's praying for the disciples. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You see, Jesus makes it clear in this passage that God is connected in unity with Jesus Christ and that he desires that we are in community with one another and with him. It's his desire for us. It's so important to him that he was saying it right before he was led away to be betrayed and crucified. In other words, if he had kind of a last will and testament before he was taken away to his crucifixion, this was it, that we would be in unity with one another as believers. It's his prayer for us. This morning, I want to focus on four main areas of connectedness. We want to be connected with God. We want to care enough to connect with each other. We need to care enough to connect with a local church, and we need to care enough to connect with the church. And by the church, I mean the overall church of Jesus. So we have a local church here, but how does that church connect with the church, the broader church? So first, we're going to talk about being connected with God. Consider how God has demonstrated his desire to be connected with man throughout history. God walked with mankind. He walked with Adam and Eve. He walked with Enoch. He walked with those in the Old Testament, with Noah, with Abraham. And it was a great way to visit. But man kept pushing him away, pushing him away. They chose sin over God. They chose their own individuality over God. They pushed away. And so God said, well, let's bump this up a notch. So he created the tabernacle and the temple system so that he could literally dwell with mankind in their midst. But man kept pushing away and pushing away. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to physically dwell here on earth with us because he wants to be connected. But we pushed away, we crucified, we murdered his son. So God has sent his Holy Spirit to literally indwell within us so he can live in us and be connected with us. It is clear throughout history God wants to be connected with mankind. And we need to be connected with God. In John 15, 3 to 4, he says, already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He's saying, yes, you're saved because of your belief in me. By my word, you have been saved. But you cannot bear fruit unless you're truly connected. He wants us to bear fruit. A true disciple should reproduce. We shouldn't just wither on the vine and die. Disciple making is the result of connection. Connection requires effort and care. You can claim a friend without much effort. It's pretty easy on Facebook. You say, yep, you're my friend. And now you have a friend. But what good is that if you never get together and talk, if you never go through the trials of life together, if you don't teach each other and admonish one another and encourage one another? What good is that friendship? It's not a true friendship. A true friendship invests. You need to be connected to God through Jesus Christ. But how? It's not rocket science. Any friendship develops the same way, through time and interaction. You're going to develop that connection with God through time and interaction. In fact, this principle is spelled out a bit in 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. His word says his divine power has granted you everything you need to be godly and successful. That's very encouraging. So we all say, great, I know him. I've been saved. So I have all that I need to be successful. But the problem is we're not properly interpreting that Greek word for knowledge when it says you know him. The word here is gnosis, and it means a deep, intimate understanding. So for instance, you guys have met me now. You know me. I'm Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. But you don't know me like my wife knows me. You don't have a deep, intimate knowledge of who I am, of what makes me tick. That's the kind of knowledge that gnosis is talking about. So when it says you have all you need through the knowledge of God, it doesn't mean just because you know God is God. It means because you're learning more about him day and day and day, and you're getting to know him on a very, very personal level. That's what it's talking about. So how do we develop this knowledge? How do we develop this? He's provided you with his word. He's made himself available through his spirit within you. He's made himself available with your friends around you. As you open his word and seek what he has to say, as you talk to your saved friends about what they're hearing from God, as you worship him, you're building that relationship. You're developing that communication, that connection. So the question is, do you care enough to connect with God? Next, we want to be connected with each other. We want to care enough to be connected with one another. At creation, God said it was not good for man to be alone, so he gave him woman. And they continued to grow the population of the earth so we could be in connection with one another. He gave us companionship from the beginning. Jesus in Matthew 22 says the greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second is to love one another, to be in connection with one another. To love someone, you must have connection. I can say I love my neighbor, but if I've never offered any help or any kind words, do I truly love my neighbor? Now, there are two types of connection we're going to talk about. One is our connection with fellow believers, and the other is our connection with those who do not know Jesus Christ. With fellow believers, we're going to save that until we talk about the local church. So let's talk about those we encounter who don't know Jesus. What are the connections we're supposed to have with them? Well, I believe Jesus came to bring wholeness to broken people. And it's our duty to bring wholeness to these folks. He's calling us to connect with those broken people. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus says to let our light shine before others. We're the world. In Matthew 25, he says, whenever we help the hungry or poor or sick or imprisoned, we're helping him. When we show kindness to strangers, we're showing it to him. The fact is, we cannot express the love of Jesus Christ to others if we have no connection with them, if we have no knowledge of their need, if we can't see their brokenness. We have to take time to connect so that we can minister to these people. Now, ultimate wholeness is found only through Jesus Christ. He told us to make disciples of all nations. How are we to reach others with the gospel if we have no connection with them, if we have no understanding of them? It's often said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Well, that's not in the Bible, but it's true. They want to see the love of Jesus lived out in your life, and then they'll listen to what you have to say. We have to care enough to connect with others. We have to follow Jesus' example. In Mark 6, Jesus and his disciples have been ministering all day, and they're hungry, and they're trying to get away for some rest. They're like, we've just got to go have a meal and sit down for a minute. This is wearing us out. So they get in a boat, and they go to an isolated place. But the crowd sees where they're going, and they all run around and get there before them. So they arrive, and the same crowd is there waiting for them. How frustrating would that be? You've been working, you're hungry, you're tired, and the same people that needed your care before are right there in front of you. If you're a parent, you understand what that feels like. To some extent. But this was thousands of people. And so Jesus saw these people. So what did he do? He could have easily said, I'm so frustrated. I need a break. They just need to go so we can take a break. But let's look at what he said when he was hungry and tired and ready to rest. In Mark 6:34, we find he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on the people. Jesus went on to teach them and feed them rather than care for his own needs. When you see hurting people in the world, how do you treat them? Are you bothered by their lifestyle or their looks or their conditions so much that you can't connect with them? Or do you have compassion on them because they're like sheep without a shepherd? Do you care enough to connect with others? Next, we're going to talk about caring enough to connect with the local church. As I mentioned before, we're also to be connected with fellow believers. Children of God, there are brothers and sisters. The people around you are your family, and you need to care enough to connect with them. Colossians 3 says, since we're raised with Christ, we're to put to death the old ways and take on a new life. Verses 12 and 13 tell us to put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, and above all, love, which binds everything together. Then in verses 15 and 16, we find, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This is the local church. This is how we join together as the local church. This is what Steve was talking about earlier, about how we connect when we come together. God's word makes it clear that a connection with a local church is vital. Now, since you're sitting here, I assume I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are here, and it's a beautiful day. It's not even raining, and I hear that's kind of rare around here. And you're here. So I know that you understand this, but be careful, because it can be tempting. The web is full of all these podcasts of pastors. And people say, I can just stay at home and hear a pastor. In fact, you won't believe this, but in fact, you might listen to one of those and even think it's better than Pastor Ryan. I mean, it's doubtful. It's doubtful, but it could happen. In an exceptional case, it'll definitely be better than me. But you might sit at home and listen to that. Your neighbor might sit at home and listen to that and say, that's my church. I don't need to come together. Well, if that's your church, how do you do all this stuff? How do you teach and admonish and join together in singing? God's calling you to be part of a local church. He's calling you to be connected with one another in a local church. He's calling you to exercise your gifts. When you come into this place, use your gifts. If you come here and all you do is sit and listen to the message, it's still not enough. He's calling you to use your gifts, to come together as a body, to edify one another, and to raise up Jesus Christ in your community. Most of us are familiar with Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet one another, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. God's word makes it clear the connection is so important, that we need to come together. We need to come together. Maybe you're missing as often as you're here because you have other activities that are also important to you. But I'm just saying, understand God calls you to be together. And when you're here, he calls you to be engaged and connected. He wants you to care enough to connect with the local church. The question is, do you care enough to connect with the local church? And finally, we're going to talk about caring enough to connect with the church. Caring enough to connect with the church. Now, I fear this facet goes neglected. Because we come together as a church and we read that Hebrews passage and we say, yeah, we got to come together as a church. But we never really talk about how churches interact with one another. Many churches today are established as independent churches and they do their own thing. Maybe the majority of new churches are independent. But is that really biblical? Is that what God has called us to? Or has he called us to connect together in denominations and fellowships and groups so we can help one another? Let's take a look at what God's word says about it. Every denomination has its strengths and weaknesses, but is self-sufficient church biblical? The first time our modern translations use the word church is in Matthew 16:18, when Jesus tells Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." On this rock, I will build my church. Notice, Jesus did not say, on these rocks, I will build my churches. He's talking about one church, his church. He's going to build his church. If you say, I'm going to build my business, you're not talking about a bunch of unconnected individuals going out and doing their own thing. You're talking about working together to achieve something. If you say, I'm going to build my house, you don't buy a 5-acre plot and put your master bedroom on one end and your washroom on the other end. I'm really glad Arliss and Esther didn't do that with their home. I'd be worn out by now. You build it in one spot. You build it together. It's one thing. It's one thing. So we need to build his church together. Remember that prayer of Jesus we began with back in John 17, 20 and 21? When he says, my prayer is not for them alone. He says, I pray for those who will believe. Those who will believe because of what the disciples do. You know what? That means every single one of us. Everyone who's ever believed in Jesus is part of this prayer. That all of them would be in unity. We need to strive to be in unity with one another. We need to strive to connect with the church. All believers. But how can we be one if we don't care enough to connect? Let's consider what he taught his disciples. See, the disciples learned directly from Jesus. They had thousands of conversations with him that are not recorded in Scripture. So we can read all the things that he said, but we can also look to what the disciples did to understand how Jesus taught them. Well, in Acts, we find so many times the church worked together as one church. Think about Acts 11. There was a revival breaking out in Antioch. And the church in Jerusalem heard about what was happening at the church in Antioch, so they sent help. They sent Barnabas, one of their best men, to go and help. He got there and he realized how exciting this was that was happening, so he went to get help. He went and found Saul in Tarsus and he brought him back with him. And he said, let's see what we can do here. And they worked together. Men from other churches came to the church in Antioch, and the work there was so powerful, the Bible tells us that's the first time believers were called Christians. Was during that revival. Because the church in Jerusalem found out what was happening at the church in Antioch and they sent help. And we talk about, well, we're far apart. I already mentioned, you guys are kind of separated from our other churches. And so maybe it seems harder to connect with the FUBC. But I'm telling you, Barnabas walked 2 weeks to get help. Our transportation is a little easier than that today. And we can jump on a video conference. I've been video conferencing with Ryan to brainstorm. We can do those things. We have technology that can help us be connected. The question is, are we willing to act like the church in Acts? Are we willing to send our best to help others who are in need? Because God is calling us to support the church, to help the church, to connect with the church. We tend to hoard our resources with good reason. We've only got so many Sunday school teachers. We can't send one of those guys. We've only got so many people on our worship team. We can't send one of them. But if God is calling us to connect, he'll provide the ways for us to do that. We need to be open to what God's calling us to do. Let's not sit in isolation. After Acts, we have the epistles. And the epistles largely shape our theology. Paul is writing. But who's he writing to? He's writing to the churches he has gone and helped and visited. He's connecting with them. And he's found out that as soon as he leaves and there's no more connection with the greater church, these churches start to kind of slip into false teaching and all kinds of problems. So he writes these letters to encourage them and exhort them and try to help keep them on track. We are better together. We're better as a group than as one individual church. Their model was not to just plant a church and let it go, but constant, consistent care. In the same way we are nourished as branches by being attached to the vine, local church needs a healthy connection to the church. The churches were also connected financially. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul instructs the church to set aside money that he will take to the church in Jerusalem. In Romans 15, he says, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. Obviously, their context is different than our context. But what principle is Paul relating? He said the Jewish church planted the Gentile churches, so the Gentile churches should support their spiritual parents. Now, I'm the FEBC president, and I haven't given an FEBC speech yet. But is this principle still valid today, that as we work together, we recognize the FEBC plants churches and plants churches, and as they do those churches realize how vital, how important it is to give back? We continue to plant churches. We have new churches today. We have a brand new church plant still meeting in a home in Saskatoon. And as we support those efforts, we're following the biblical model to help one another, to support one another. And maybe there will be times when your church has need, and we want to be there to provide those needs. See, we have churches with stuff, we have churches that need stuff, and my job is to put that together and figure out how we can help and encourage and support one another. How can we connect with the greater church? But the model that sometimes happens is, as a church gets bigger and bigger and bigger, they start to say, you know what, we're kind of self-sufficient now. We don't actually need help from the FEBC. So if we don't need help, is it worth our investment? But you can't look at it that way. It's got to be, is there something going on that I can support? Yeah. Is there a church that has less that I can support by my giving, by my serving on a commission, by my working with the FEBC, by my providing resources? We're looking for resources. Like if you've got a great position paper on something, or if you've got a great document on something, we're looking for that. We want to take that and tell other churches, here's an example of something you could use. I'm about ready to roll up your banners up here and take them with me, because that's great. I love that. What resources do we have that others could benefit from? That's how we work together. That's how we connect with the church. Just like Africa or China or any place else that we send our missions money, North America has people who are lost and need Jesus Christ. And frankly, our mission field has been coming to us for years. Every community where I've been at an FEBC church, there are more immigrants there today than ever before. And they're coming, and most of them don't know Jesus, and we can help. Let's connect with the church. In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul mentions he ministered in Corinth without charge. He was supported by other churches. We have the book of Corinthians because Paul was working there, not getting paid a dime, while other churches paid his way. It's God's model. We connect with the church. We help others when they're unable to provide. And I'm not suggesting we need to provide every need of every church who's struggling. Sometimes they're struggling because of very poor decisions, and we need to help them overcome that. We don't just throw money at problems, but we carefully evaluate, where is Jesus calling us by his Holy Spirit? Where is he calling us to connect with other churches, to help them, to support them? Now, make no mistake, the FEBC is not the bride of Christ. It's not the church. It's not the whole church. It's a very small portion of the church. But it's a first step. It's a way to be connected. It's a group of churches who believe the same basic things you believe and have the same basic goals that you have, that you can join with and care enough to connect with, to reach out to others. I'm asking if you're willing to connect. If we can't get along with a few other churches that have agreed to the same basic theological principles as us, how are we going to be able to connect with anyone? So we have these four areas of connection. We need to be connected with God, with each other, with a local church, and with the church. If we are not connected in one of these areas, the question is, why not? And I suspect it's because we don't care enough. If we're not connected in any one of these areas, it's because we don't care enough. That sounds harsh, but it's true. Because if you care enough about something, you'll make it happen. I have friends who are fanatics about football, or maybe hockey around here, or maybe soccer, or maybe basketball, whatever sport you love. You'll be at like a social event, and all of a sudden you realize you forgot to record the game. It's like, oh no, what do I do? And so like texting somebody, hey, record the game, record the game. And then after the event's over, you'll go and you'll watch the game until 3 o'clock in the morning because you don't want the score to be ruined the next morning. So you gotta hurry up and watch it. I have a cousin who wanted a car, a specific car. He wanted a 2005 Mustang, and he found it. I've got pictures. It is gorgeous. It's a 2005 Mustang with 3,000 miles on it. It's never been in the rain. You pop open the hood and you could eat off of it. It's just beautiful. And he cared about that. He spent months. He spent a long time saving money, and then he spent months looking for exactly the right car. And then when he found it, he drove two states away to get the thing, never had seen it before, got it, brought it back, He did a lot because he cared about reaching that goal. I know people who have 2 jobs, 3 jobs, 5 jobs to support a certain standard of living because they care enough to do that work. If we care enough, we will make room for something. So if we're not connecting in one of these areas, I believe it's because we don't care enough. Now, this might mean you have to give up a hobby or a favorite TV show. It might mean you have to work less. It might mean your kids can't have 36 activities every week. But you can give up something if you care enough to connect better with God and with others and with the church. Your priorities reflect the areas you care most about. Like Jesus, who had compassion on the crowds and ministered to them even when he was exhausted and hungry, we need to dig deep to find the will to connect. It all begins with God. Develop a connection with God, and he will lead you in all of these areas. Develop a connection with God, and he will lead you in all of these areas. God, this morning we come before you asking that you would soften our hearts. If there is any area where I am failing to connect the way you've called me to, reveal it to me. Lord, show me your way. Show me how to more faithfully connect with others who are hurting, with other believers, with the church. Lord, move in my heart that I would know your will, that I would follow your will, that I would seek to serve you with my life. We give ourselves to you, and all praise is due to you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.